Tony, would you like to identify yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. I'm Tony Oldfield, and I'm the manager of the new Mount Stromlo Exploratory in Canberra.
Most people, when they visit Canberra, may take a drive out to the west and see a sign, Mount Stromlo Observatory, hang a right-hand turn and climb through a wooded hillside and finally reach the top with a spectacular view of some mountains, and there's some domes there, but nothing much else to do. Tony, are you going to rectify that situation?
We certainly hope so. Yes, you're quite right. At the moment, people will go up there. They'll be able to see some very impressive observatory domes and get some information about the history of Mount Stromlo in a small gallery, enjoy the fantastic views of the Brindabellas, but nothing much else. Now, this time, when they come up to the mountain, they'll actually be able to theoretically take off from the edge of that mountain and explore space for themselves, because we're providing the opportunity for them to get their hands on astronomy and space and also rub shoulders with the professional astronomers on the mountain, and we really are opening up all our doors to the general public.
The observatory is actually a working observatory, because normally you go up there in the daytime and the place is dead as a doornail, nothing to see. Mm-hmm. To do, really, as we've just mentioned, but it is actually an actual working observatory.
That's right. Mount Stromlo, in fact, has pioneered many, many aspects of southern sky astronomy, and is still at the forefront of modern astronomical research. And in fact, what we're doing now is we're going to allow people to do some observing during the daytime. In fact, many people don't realise that there are quite a few interesting objects that you can see during the daytime, and there are a lot of interactive things that you can do in the classroom and at Mount Stromlo, whereby you can simulate the motions of planets and you can explore what happens inside a galaxy or inside a black hole. You can theoretically go back in time and find out how the universe evolved and how life on Earth evolved. And one thing I must say is that I feel very strongly, having been involved in science education for many years now, is that astronomers have been their own worst enemy in many respects, in that they have got a fantastic subject. Many people are enthused by astronomy, and yet when it comes to the crunch, and young people in particular have to make decisions about what they're going to do in terms of careers, they often think astronomy isn't accessible to them and is too difficult for them to do. We at Mount Stromlo want to promote astronomy as being fascinating and wonderful, as it is, but as the queen of all environmental sciences, astronomy is essentially the cement between physics, geology, meteorology, ecology, and biology, of course, and it often hasn't been seen as being so central and fundamental. It's often been seen as being a science that is rather esoteric and out on a limb. We want to bring it back and help people appreciate and explore the central fundamental science that astronomy is.
You say environmental science. Could you explain that a bit further?
Well, for example, you and I are made up of stellar material. We presented Miss Joan Duffield with some flowers tonight. The atoms that made those flowers were at one stage floating around in space. Many of the heavy elements that we have on Earth, that are the core of our mineral resources, were formed in the latter stages of the life cycle of a star. The vast majority of life on Earth depends on energy that is emitted from a local star, which is our Sun. We are made of the stuff of stars, and our life on our planet is dependent upon stellar energy. And in that sense, it's continually evolving, and in that sense, astronomy is a dynamic environmental science.
This is a view that you don't often hear from astronomers. What's your background that brings this sort of understanding?
I am a zoologist. My PhD was in biology. The reason I came to astronomy was by being a science teacher for 6 years. And I began to teach biology and physics and gravitated, excuse the use of the word, but gravitated towards astronomy. And as an ecologist, a professional ecologist, feel that when teaching ecology, there are many fundamental astronomical questions related to living systems and interrelationships between living systems and energy flow through ecosystems that are as easily discussed amongst a gathering of astronomers as there are amongst a gathering of biologists. And astronomy and biology are merely two sciences that are on a continuum, and we share a great deal. So I see astronomy as simply an extension of ecology and environmental science.
So people coming to Mount Stromlo won't be in for just an astronomical experience. It's a whole life sort of thing, isn't it?
Well, what we're doing, we're teaching astronomy and physics, but we're relating the basic principles. For example, we have a section on the electromagnetic spectrum, and we're trying to introduce people to how astronomers use different parts of the spectrum to gather different types of information about astronomical objects. However, astronomers aren't the only ones. Vampire bats use infrared energy to detect which blood vessels are close to the surface of an animal. Bumblebees use ultraviolet radiation to be able to locate a food source. Other animals are sensitive to not only the visible spectrum, but infrared, ultraviolet, etc. Some animals are sensitive to other kinds of electromagnetic radiation. So by using an environmental theme, we can not only explain astronomical phenomena, but we can explain phenomena that relate to our life here on Earth as well.
Most people, when you say daytime, you know, astronomy in the daytime, they think, well, the sun. And when they think about it, they think, well, you could see the moon. Although I've met a lot of people who are quite convinced you cannot see the moon in the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, nothing. Now, how come you're going to do astronomy in the daytime? Now, you know, get real.
Well, I actually personally enjoy observing the moon in the early hours just after sunrise. It's very, very impressive. And in fact, on our open day in April this year, we had, in a five-hour period, we had 5,500 people come to Mount Stromlo, and most of them queued for over an hour just to look through the large 74-inch telescope at the planet Venus, which many people didn't believe that you could actually see it during the daytime. And again, it's fundamental concepts about astronomy that people pick up when they're in their early years and are consolidated misconceptions. That one being that we can't do astronomy during the daytime. You make a simple sundial out of a piece of card and a piece of string suspended between two cards, and you calibrate it where the position of the shadow is. What are you doing? You're not just making an instrument that measures time, you're doing astronomy. You're gaining information about the relative motion of the Earth and the Sun. There are so many things, astronomical projects, that teachers can do with their pupils in the classroom and outside during the daytime that really bring astronomy alive. And this is the reason, I think, in many instances, why astronomy has been slow to take off in schools, because it's always been considered as an activity that you can only do outside school hours. It's far from the truth.
And how far along are you in actually building this exciting new exhibition centre?
Well, the exploratory, the new exhibition centre, the building will actually be completed at the end of this year. And then we're even now designing and constructing exhibits for the centre. And it is our hope that we open to the public in July of next year. It's a tight timeline, but already the interest that is being generated by such a unique facility is quite phenomenal. We're having schools ring us already to make bookings, and we're not open for another 11 months. So it really is quite a unique centre, and I hope that schools, whether they're doing astronomy topics, biology, environmental studies topics, will find something at Stromlo that they can benefit from.
Will there be a charge?
There will be a charge. At the moment, we're expecting that the charge will be around $5 for adults and $3 for concessions. However, the way to get around that charge is to become a friend of the Stromlo Exploratory, and we'll have a special package of concessions and special activities that we have at the Exploratory. And of course, if you're a friend of the Exploratory and support the Exploratory with annual contributions, you can come to Stromlo as often as you like and bring as many friends as you like. So there are ways around taking the sting out of the admission charge. But of course, the admission charge goes into designing and developing new exhibits, and the exhibits that will be replaced will then tour other science centres around Australia. So it is an ongoing programme of development of new and exciting astronomy exhibits.
So it's not going to be a static thing where you visit once in your lifetime and then say, well, I've been there, done that. You can actually go back and find something else.
Absolutely. There will be a core of exhibits like the heliostat, which is an essential integral part of the building that will not change. But we will have about a third of the exhibition will be changing each year. And you'll see Stromlo exhibits in Adelaide, Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney, Perth, Darwin, as the project begins to gain its own momentum. So it's a very exciting project, even for a biologist.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Tony.
No problem, no problem. And come to Stromlo next time.
We will do that, certainly. Thank you.